Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey everyone, Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
What's up, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between? You have joined us for a new edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. Thank you for joining us. Happy belated International Women's Day to all you rockettes, or, you know, whatever. If you prefer rockers, that's all good, too. It's all love. I am your host, Mark Meyer, your co-host. Joining with me, as usual, Corey Morissette. Corey, I've been having a day. I hope you've been having a day, but I hope it's been a good one. How you feeling?
Feeling terrible. I got to tell you, 1 o'clock this morning, I guess, I started a coughing fit, and I didn't stop for 3 hours. So I'm running on about 2 hours of sleep. I've been running all over the southern part of the province for work, but I'm here. I don't have whiskey tonight. I got a big thing of water. But thankfully, we just happened to book two amazing guests here tonight who are going to carry my weight for me, which is considerable.
Well, you're doing pretty good so far, and you did great last time. So whatever potion, magic potion to keep your health at bay for the shows, keep drinking it. You're doing well. It's probably just the water, but whatever. It's working.
NyQuil on the rocks is actually a nice substitute.
Absolutely.
There you whiskey, go. You know.
NyQuil on the rocks. Yeah. Well, you're hearing
that. I had to give that up 20 years ago, too. So, yeah. So.
You're hearing the voice of one of our guests today. Fan extraordinaire of the show, always has something to say. And finally, we just had to have him on because it's nice to hear from the actual person who's tweeting these things out at us. Chaz Mataz, you know him on Twitter. Chaz, how you doing, my dude? How's it going?
Hello,
how you feeling?
Hello.
Thank you for being
here.
Thank
you. Thanks very much. Thanks for having me, guys. I'm doing great. Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Corey. Hey, man. Yeah, glad you're here. You know, I know the colds have been going around here in Northern Colorado big time, man. So I know your pain, brother, and got a bunch around me that are sick as well. So I hope you get better soon. And CJ, really nice to meet you. My gosh, I'm in awe of the work that you've done, man. Encyclopedic. Yes.
That's right.
Yeah, you're great hearing, to meet all of you.
Yeah. CJ. Awesome. CJ Chilvers joining us on the show as well. He is the author of the Van Halen Encyclopedia, which I'll just go ahead and point out, Corey uses every day,
every single day. Yep.
Amazing.
Every single day, every time. Yeah. So CJ is the man behind the pen.
Man.
CJ, thank you so much for being on the show, man.
No, thank you guys. I should send you the updated version, the secret beta update.
Yes, please. Yes. It's about time the show starts paying off in some way for me.
Some kind of perks. You need
actually, it already has two because Eric Senich sent Mark and I a copy of a David Lee Roth Crazy from the Heat script. So,
No joke.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It paid off.
I can't find a hard copy of that anywhere here. We've got a lot of great used bookstores in Northern Colorado, but I can't find a copy of that book anywhere.
Well, yeah, I had to go on eBay to find my copy of Crazy from the Heat. But this is actually David's movie script that he wrote.
The script. It's that's crazy. Wow.
Amazing stuff. Yes. So two awesome guests. This is going to be a really, really great show. And I've already broken the format of the show entirely. So we're off to the races. It's going to be one of those. If you are joining us for the first time and you just have no idea what is going on, first of all, welcome. We are the podcast that dives into the discography and catalog of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen, if you haven't guessed it. And we do it one track at a time. So getting to know the guests just a little bit, we mentioned, CJ, you wrote the Van Halen Encyclopedia, but what was it that brought you to Van Halen in the first place? I'd love to hear it.
Oh, guitar. And this is like everybody else. that's why you can stick with all the singers, and I don't have any preferences over them. I'm gonna stick with Eddie. You know,
awesome. That's good. I mean, that's a solid foundation. I mean, what more do you need? Am I right, Chaz? Mm-hmm. Like I said, you've been a long time contributor to the vocal chat, as it were, for our show. So, what brought you to Van Halen?
Oh man, gosh. So, well, I want to say it was the guitar as well. Just like CJ said, I mean, I got to be honest, right? So when I picked up my guitar, I think because of Ace Frehley, I started to learn how to play guitar, you know, thanks to Jimmy Page, but I really felt like I fell in love with guitar with Eddie Van Halen. Right. And as soon as I heard Van Halen, I guess I was 8 or 9 at that point. So that's like what, 1979, 1980. So I had this beat up old Memphis Stratocaster, Japanese, you know, Strat. And it was black. I took red, you know, tape and taped it up and just tried to finger tap and beat the hell out of that guitar. And it was like, you know, love affair ever since, honestly. So
there's a saying, right, that Eddie Van Halen makes you want to pick up the guitar and Steve Vai makes you want to put it back down.
yeah, sure.
That is all too real. I understand that feeling entirely.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, man. Well, that's awesome, man. I love hearing it. Love to hear both the anecdotes of what brought you to this band. Not dissimilar from the majority of us. So, awesome.
Oh, well, and I got to say, a healthy dose of it was David Lee Roth's attitude, guys. I mean, seriously, like Van Halen, the balls of Van Halen was that band, as far as I'm concerned. So, yeah, I'm very clearly in that camp. But I got a great appreciation for Sammy. And I was, you know, I guess I was in late high school. So late 86, 87, when he had the Red Rocker line of clothing. So like he was doing like, you know, like parachute pants and, you know, T-shirts and other stuff, board shorts, sneakers, all that stuff. And I had a friend who was a huge Red Rocker fan and followed Sammy around, even saw him a number of times. I wasn't that crazy about him, but I had some board shorts. So, you know, I appreciate the Red Rocker. I appreciate Sammy Hagar. I appreciate Van Hagar. I appreciate Van Halen 3. That did happen in my book, you know.
Well,
happened in my book.
There's kind of there's no getting around it in your book there, CJ.
Well, that's when it came out. So the whole book was written during that recording process, and then the album came out. Right when we were finishing our contract with a big publisher who then quickly canceled it. After hearing Van Halen 3.
Bummer. Ouch.
Well, Corey has, like I said, Corey holds that encyclopedia in very, very high regard. So to me, that says that this book there's been a lot of time and patience, blood, sweat, tears, you name it, curated into the pages of this thing. So hats off to you, really? Honestly, for taking on that endeavor. It's incredible. Yeah. So I encourage everyone to do like Corey and pick up your copy of the encyclopedia, especially if you like what we do and you like everything Van Halen. So That out of the way, Corey, anything going on in Van Halen news? Anything the Van Halen news desk people are saying?
You know, there's not a ton. David Lee Roth had a new episode of his YouTube show where he talked about a lot of things. He talked about his love of professional bull riding. He talked about trying not to shoot the curb while skateboarding and other spectacular crashes. He talked about why Howard Stern belongs in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He talked about where the Van Halen swagger came from, that Jazz was talking about, what he's up to nowadays. He talked about those Van Halen studio live recordings. And he talked about Van Halen wanting to open for Queen back in the day. But he also talked about coming out of retirement. And there was a couple of quotes that he mentioned on his show I wanted to read because they make so much sense. This is David Lee Roth on his show saying, and I quote, "I didn't get to retire. Just when I get out, they pulled me back in. I really did mean to retire. I should be in the middle of my third retirement now, according to the Rockley bibliography. How many times did Rock retire? 6, 7 times? Then he was a coach twice, right? And James Bond. I don't know what he means by end. James Bond. I don't think he ever retired. But so nevertheless, my lower back and the doctor.
Yeah.
This is the line.
That's classic CJ. Dave.
Yeah,
that's
nevertheless, Dave. My lower back and the doctor whack, and the team says, be careful where you play.
Yeah, you don't want to get hit in the head with the microphone again, or have someone throw some sort of debris at you. Yeah.
I didn't hear anybody take away his doubling down on the stripe story for the Frankenstein.
Right,
he did.
Yeah, don't know, Dr. T.
I don't think anybody
he's gone.
Yeah, I don't think anybody fact checked.
No, of course not. No, you know. Because you could fact check Roth all you want, but it's what's the point? Like, what's the point?
Well,
He
makes a lot of really bizarre pop references. They're not necessarily wrong. It's just you got to stay in that. You got to try and get into and then stay in his space. And that's just like,
well, that's what I mean. Like, what's the point of fact checking? Yeah. Because that would take the fun out of all the things that he is claiming and all the things he's stating. It might be true.
That's
it might be
kind of what I do.
Yeah.
No, it's
you're just along for the ride. So
it's kind of, he's like doing slam poetry when he speaks. It's just that, you know, it's like 24/7. Like,
oh, there's more.
There's more.
Do you want slam poetry? I'll read you this little passage if you're a fan of slam poetry. Van Halen, we followed a more Spartan code, literally same as Roman legions, same as Vikings, in that we simply overtrained and then overtrained the overtraining and then overtrained the overtraining. So just like all of us listening right now, I can operate this motor vehicle 65 to 75 miles an hour.
Okay, that is a thing he said.
Yep.
Yeah, slam poetry, all right.
I can turn on the extra large latte, Tom.
I mean, I'm not shocked by any of that. It's that sounds on brand. So good for Dave. Mm-hmm. Good for you know what? Tune into that YouTube show just because I have a feeling it's probably low key hilarious.
The Raw show on YouTube.
Yeah,
I didn't even know Dave loved professional bull riding. So.
Surprised he hasn't done it recreationally, you know, probably on the weekends or every afternoon. Thursdays at 4, you know, I mean,
to paraphrase a line from my favorite show, Seinfeld, boy, listening to David Lee Roth tell stories is like walking into a African safari. You never know what you're going to find, and you're really scared of what might happen. So hats off to you.
That episode of the Tony Bourdain show when he's out there with the pigs and he eats the anus. We won't go there.
All right.
That's terrible. That's terrible.
Eating anus on Van Halen. Yeah, that's what Van Halen show talking about. Eating anuses with Anthony Bourdain.
Hey, eat them and smile.
That is going to get its own section in the revised version of the Van Halen Encyclopedia now. Eating anuses, as mentioned on And the Podcast Will Rock.
So. Oh, nice. Man. Nice. I would be able to die quite happy with that little blurb in the book. Fingers crossed, you guys. All right, moving forward.
More piece of news, Mark. One more piece of news.
As we're
recording this on Wednesday night, it's Kelsey's birthday. Kelsey, of course, everybody's favorite guest on our show, celebrating a birthday today. So we just want to say happy birthday, Kelsey.
Happy birthday. Happy belated by the time this comes out. But our favorite guest, fan favorite guest. Hats off to you. Happy birthday. Hope it's been a rocking good time. All right. So moving on from the news desk, now it's time to go to the rocking poll. The poll from last week where we asked you, what is your vote on the song we covered? And the song we covered was, say it with me, Fire in the Hole from Van Halen 3.
Now, CJ has thoughts on Fire in the Hole. We can maybe get his input.
Yes. This might be good to start it off. Please, CJ, tell me your thoughts on Fire in the Hole.
Well, I only listened to half of the podcast so far on that because I was just so mad that I didn't get it. But yeah, that's the song I always use as kind of like it's a microcosm for Van Halen 3. The production on it is there wasn't a producer there, and you can tell.
Yeah,
and there's clipping all over that song, and it's kind of the most basic type of thing that a producer or engineer can do.
Yeah,
you know, and it's just like everything throughout that song says lack of producer. The last riff at the end of the song, that riff that ends the song, that should have been the entire song, mm-hmm. and a good producer would tell you that.
100%. Could not agree more.
I love that. And I'm glad you got to say it here on the show because that seems like a lot to type out via Twitter or what have you. You'll hear no arguments, at least out of me, from that assessment whatsoever because I have full agreement. And I think Corey is too. We know your thoughts. We tried to get everyone else's thoughts on Fire in the Hole, and I am stunned. I am stunned by the results of this poll because 54.7% of you out there said Fire in the Hole is what dreams are made of. I will repeat that. 54.7% of you said yay to Fire in the Hole. 45% said the dream is over. What? What?
I get it. I was a lot more positive on it than you were. I was really on the fence for the whole way. It was really the lack of producer and the production quality that tipped me to this dream is over. So I kind of get it. I am surprised, though, that it is. I thought it'd be the other way. 54%, this dream is over. 45, what dreams are made of. But
I mean, just so close of a split like that. And honestly, it is crazy. I mean, out of 86 votes. So, I mean, 86 people decide let's just go into it. I'm gonna do the honors for you, Corey, because I have to know. All right, some dude named Chaz Mataz said, I found blood in my stool after listening to this piece of shit. JK, no Van Halen song is that bad, even that other one from this album, and we know which one he's talking about. I just think it's among the bottom two of the whole catalog, but now the earworm won't leave. My punishment, so it goes. Yes, it is your punishment for that, Chaz. Yeah. I can tell you directly because
it happens.
On the other side of it, Robert Cato says, badass Van Halen 3 song. Cool that it was used in Lethal Weapon as well. And he goes on to say, the whole song is using the imagery of James 3 from the Bible, or James the 3rd from the Bible, and how the tongue, spoken words, can set everything on fire and is one of the most powerful parts of the body. Okay, that is certainly an interpretation, and you're probably right on the nose Robert, but
that's why people listen to Van Halen too. That's right there for those references.
Biblical references in my Van Halen.
I thought it was biblical apocalyptic gastrointestinal distress after eating.
I mean,
fire in the hole.
It felt like the biblical flood in that. I felt like I was drowning in that bullshit. Right? But I mean, that's just me. Moving on. Rava Flav says, "Holy shit! How many songs are on this godforsaken album? Because you're featuring too many of them. It's the spin of the wheel, my dude. Maybe more importantly, how does How does what was within the top five musical groups at the time release something with such poor production and sound quality? Wow, you're asking the good questions, and CJ just kind of he put it best. It's like this song reeks of no producer, and
they attempted to mix it twice. So it tells me that the source material was the issue, the engineering. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially if they're getting peaking in it too, right? Like if you record it hot, you can't fix that, really.
Yeah. No, you can't. Yeah.
At GHS AP McPeak says, I used to like this one a lot before this episode. One of the few on Van Halen 3 that I could listen to. The music and chorus are good. The lyrics, not so much. What dreams are made of? Barely. Well, so now I feel kind of bad. We ruined something that you loved, and we destroyed it. Well, almost, because you still upvoted it. I have a feeling nostalgia has a lot to do with it. But so kudos to you, GHS. But and I'm sorry that we just sort of shattered the illusion a little bit for you. But it is what it is.
I don't think you had to do much work there.
No, I don't think so either. I'm just the apologies. Yes. Yeah, the apologies sort of just a formality. You know, like we're not trying to hate on you too hard, but
you got to dig up that Japanese car commercial.
Yeah, exactly.
That featured it.
Yeah,
exactly. Our buddy Scott Monroe says, like I alluded to earlier, I definitely have thoughts on this one, and they're mixed. But ultimately, what dreams are made of for me, guys, and I gotta defend it. I group it in with The One I Want and Without You as being the among the three solid tracks on Van Halen 3. And he says, hear me out on this thread, and he goes into a diatribe. I'm sorry, Scott, I can't get into all of it, but he won't defend the mixing. I'm going to point that out. He likes the solo. Wow, you really did just go into a long thing. Scott, I'm sorry. I can't read all of this. But all that to say, you know, it's what dreams are made of. And he has his points. I strongly encourage all you listeners, go check it out and hear his manifesto that he typed on here. Because probably, and I'm going to, I will go
I'm
back.
I'm drawn in. I'm going back.
Yeah, I will go back and and reread that on my own time and probably respond to it.
The
so,
fire in the hole manifesto.
Fire in the hole. Wow.
Fire in the hole manifesto by Scott Monroe. Kudos to you. Friend of the show, Kevin Brown says, even a healthy dose of Ed sauce can't season this shit sandwich enough to make it palatable.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Typifies the album for me. Completely unmemorable. Hashtag make dentistry great again. Man, I just special shout out to Kevin Brown. He just cracks us up, and he cracks us up in the best possible way. We appreciate it. Go listen to his Tom Petty podcast. Our friend Tom Armbruster says, this may be my first The Dream Is Over vote, but I really want to hear the song that might have sprung from that riff during the fade. I always turn up the volume as it fades so I can hear it for as long as possible. Again, kind of alluding to what you were talking about, CJ, like that ending riff, that should have been it. That should have been it, and it just wasn't. So we were left
So many Van Halen songs. My God, there's so many great songs where there are those little songs within the songs, and it's usually at the end. Yep. And it's like, you could just, if you could take those, like feed them into an AI and have it come up with some kind of new composition, that would be awesome, man. Something like that. Yeah. There's a lot of that.
Ryan Powell says, I agree with pretty much of all of what Scott Monroe said here. Yeah, apparently he read the manifesto, and you swayed Ryan. But Ryan says, absolutely killer solo, and while admittedly a bit of a word salad, Gary is doing a lot of clever wordplay here along with a cohesive theme. Chew your words, lest you choke is great. Verse. Yeah. And Gary is a great lyricist and has a long track record of clever wordplay. Just in song titles alone, a la Pornograffiti, Political Amity, Evangelist, Fairweather Faith, AmeriCocaine. I mean, yeah, he likes puns. Gary likes puns. That much is true. But Ryan said hashtag what dreams are made of. So if you guys... if you were not so good on this song and you wish things had been different, go check out Scott Monroe's manifesto. He might sway you like he did our friend Ryan Powell.
Or check out the new Extreme song, which is kind of like Fire in the Hole Light, because it's awesome guitar work, horrible mixing. There's clipping in it.
I will. That
it's got a great riff at the end.
I couldn't even tell Gary somebody was singing said something. First.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. The production is like, what? What again?
Yeah.
Wow. You know? I mean, seriously.
We'll have to get Christy on the show sometime soon. She's not here right now, but the next time she's on, we'll have to ask her because she listened to that song and had quite a reaction herself. And I would really love for her, in her own words, to express it. So, but a couple more here. Our buddies at Sean Geek and Fast Fret Podcast, just throwing it out there, says the crap songs are the best episodes, and this is no exception. Great guests. Mark the Bat was in fine form. Thank you. Corey Moore says still manages to entertain even under the weather. Great show all. Thank you guys so much for the kind words. And finally, from the You're All Doomed to Friday the 13th podcast, there might be a fire in the hole, but there is zero fire in this chorus, much like the rest of the songs on Van Halen 3. It's almost like these were placeholder vocals until they came up with a better chorus, but they forgot to go back and replace it. I could see that too.
Yeah, that's the click track in, guys. Well, who was it that said the whole thing should have stayed like, you know, an unheard demo? Somebody said, right? Was that this week? Somebody said that somewhere.
Probably. We couldn't get to all of them, but there's a lot of comments on this one. So feel free to go back, and if you haven't read what everyone is saying about this particular song and on the poll, check it out on our Twitter at Podcast Will Rock. Thank you everyone for contributing. I'm sorry if I couldn't read yours out loud, but you guys are interacting at a heavy pace, and sometimes it's hard to keep up. So but thank you all so much. Keep the conversation going. All right, with that out of the way, Corey, I think it is time to do our favorite thing. Say it with me, everyone. Raise your glasses high. It's time to manifest. That's right, we come to the part of the show where we manifest a song that we want to hear, we want to talk about. What song shall it be that the wheel has left for us? So I'm going to go straight to our guests of honor today. We'll start, Chaz, we'll start with you. You've been following the show for a long time now. Yep. You've been itching and aching, and now you're here. Now you're ready. What song left on the wheel are you trying to manifest for tonight's show? Or I'll do you one better, like I have been lately. Is there a particular era of Van Halen that you want to manifest for tonight?
No, as much as I've, you know, proclaimed where my loyalty, what freak flag I fly, my brothers, I really want to hear Spanked, 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 Spanked. I've been manifesting it all since we've spoken. Yes.
I knew it.
So,
we all know why, secretly
hoping that it never came up any other week, but this is it. I'm hoping to call my shot Spanked.
I just got to point out, Chaz does a new podcast talking about the Lou Reed Metallica collaboration, Lulu, called Regarding Lulu. So the fact that he picked Spank does not surprise me in the least.
Ah, there you go.
More on that later. But Chaz is shooting his shot at the expense of Corey's entertainment. So he is going for Spanked, and he is trying real, real hard. He probably sacrificed a goat before coming onto the show just to make sure that happens. So
yes.
I don't know. I don't know your life, but we don't judge here at and the podcast.
Sulfur and burning hair. The smell is still in the air. Yes.
You do you. All right, but CJ Chilvers, you're author extraordinaire, the guy who painstakingly has put together an encyclopedia of Van Halen. What song could you possibly want to manifest for tonight's show so that we can really sink our teeth into it?
Whichever one nobody else cares about, because I know I have the trivia on this stuff that nobody cares about. So I will take anything from any era that's just kind of a throwaway. I did a whole essay on growth a couple months ago.
Oh, wow.
The origins of growth, and it went on for paragraphs and paragraphs. So that's like anything that's obscure and nobody cares about.
Sweet. All right. Sweet. So you hear that? He wants to hear anything from Van Halen 1. Because nobody cares about that.
Most obscure album, yes.
The most obscure album, yes, yes. No, but I like that though. It's just give me the shit that nobody even wants to talk about because nobody thinks about. Give me that one. I like that. That's a good flex. So hey, you might get your wish. This wheel likes to be fickle at times like these. So Corey, my podcasting brother, How about you, man? You're feeling you're still kind of under the weather. So what possibly could you want to bring forth to the table in your manifestation to for good Van Halen health?
Well, I should go back to somebody get me a doctor from Van Halen too, but I'm not going to do that tonight. I screwed up last week and we were talking about how many songs on each album left. And I said, I'm pretty sure there's only one on OU812. And I totally fucked that up. There's three that we have left on that one. One of them is a little song you might have heard of called When It's Love. That one slipped my mind in my feverish state. Black and Blue and Apolitical Blues. And that's the one I'm going to manifest here tonight because we have CJ on here. I want to hear more about Apolitical Blues from OU812.
Oh, man. That's a
good,
what a good call.
I had the cassette.
That's their like Led Zeppelin. That's their like rock and roll tribute, right? Yeah. Is that the one? Yeah.
Look, y'all know me.
That's Big Fat Money. Big Fat Money is kind of the tribute to rock and roll. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I believe we've done Big Fat Money.
Yeah, you have. But Apolitical, right. That's the acoustic blues number. Right.
Yeah. So
okay. Awesome. Yep. Yes.
Y'all know me as a Sammy guy. So I've been itching for When It's Love for sure.
Itching for a spanking. Come on, you're itching for a spanking. Come on, Mark.
I mean, well, always, but that's not the show for that. Instead, I'm going to manifest another song, a song that I personally haven't manifested, or if I have manifested, it's only been kind of in jest, but actually I would really like to hear it for a plethora of reasons, but I am going to manifest a Sammy tune, and it is going to be Amsterdam. Amsterdam. Okay. I would just
but Christy's
love-
not here.
But she could pop in at the right moment. Okay. Who knows? If we do spin it, then and she's still not here, then you have my word. We'll still continue on with the show. We won't delay, and she'll just have to deal. But if we don't spin that, then yeah, then I guess that just wasn't meant to be, and the time for her to join the show again is nigh. So those are our manifestations. That's what we are bringing forth. All right. What do you say? If Sammy is ready backstage, if CJ is ready, if Chaz is ready, Corey, I know you're ready. Are you ready?
Why not? Let's prime this thing. Let's see. I was up 3 hours coughing last night. So let's shuffle the wheel three times. One, two, three. All right. Here we go. Oh, it's another Van Halen 3 song.
Oh, God. Well,
what?
BJ called his shot. I'll say that he did it. I don't think anyone cares about once because it's on Van Halen 3.
Oh,
there you go. You're going, look how close we were to Spanked, though, dude. Like, look at that.
Oh, come on.
Spanked was so close.
Right. There.
When It's Love was so close too, but just not close enough. But
girl gone bad.
The force is strong in this one, but not strong enough.
It's
passed me by.
Yep. Sometimes the wheel just I have a feeling the wheel did this to us on purpose for a purpose.
Wait, from where I'm sitting, that's sitting on blood and fire. Wait a minute.
That's because I already removed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he already removed. Yeah.
Now it's over in results now. There it is.
He's confused me more many a time with that. But that's the way it goes. So
wait, that was a Van stolen Halen vote. 3. That was a stolen. Can I claim stolen vote? Stolen
you,
something?
You can.
This
and we're all out of mulligans. We're all out of mulligans.
You can, but it is of no use. Look, I'm not. Not thrilled about it at all. But I don't know. Maybe this will be a diamond in the rough.
Yeah. You got to go in with a positive frame of mind here, guys. Come on.
This is the once. Well, is that one? Oh, no.
We'll find out. I don't know. No. I'm going into this very fresh because
what have I done to deserve
I don't think
this?
I have the remix.
What have I done? No. Oh.
Now, CJ, normally this is the part of the show where I have Mark fill time. Well, I look on the Van Halen Encyclopedia for tidbits on Once, but since the author is here, just go ahead and tell us all about Once.
Yeah.
Let's see. The interesting things, if you can call it that, they asked for a remix, and there were two videos made, one for the regular, one for the remix, and the remix was for the adult contemporary market. Which I don't think you really needed on this song.
Did they do that a lot, CJ?
No, this is it.
You're ripping my heart out. Oh, wow. That's like the first time you hear that they're on classic rock radio. Right?
And they even brought in a background singer too.
Oh,
one of Gary's friends And both videos were made by David Bertinelli.
Oh no!
Oh
kidding.
Boy. Well,
oh, and Sammy, let's see, the working title of the song, I'm reading this straight out of like the late, the working title of the song was Returning of the Wish, and then that was used for a different song on Sammy's solo album, Red Voodoo.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
All right. Well, like I said, I've got no leg to stand on in this one. My journey through Van Halen 3 has all been from this show, and it has not been a fun journey at all. Corey, do you have any sort of anecdotes about this particular track?
I really don't. I didn't listen to a lot of Van Halen 3 back in the day. Yeah. And the tracks I that stood out to me, we've already kind of spun, except for Josefina. So I'm kind of coming to this one a little fresh, and I'm looking forward to that. We can't even play how many times did Van Halen play once, because according to setlist.fm, they never played it.
It doesn't exist.
There's a connection to Spanked, actually.
Oh.
You're now, kidding me.
Yes. Because Eddie said this, so... we don't have specifics, but he said he did use a double neck guitar with a 6-string bass on it to record the solo for this song. So to me, that's the Spanked guitar.
Wow.
I guess it is.
Okay, so I guess I inadvertently brought this upon myself by manifesting so hard. It was holding on to the one for so long. Like I should have backed off a little bit before coming on the show in my private manifestations for Spanked. I really wanted
Shouldn't have sacrificed that goat. You should let the little guy go.
It was a hoof too far. Yeah.
Mark and I always advocate to manifest responsibly. So
always manifest responsibly. Yeah. No, I think this was just the power of the wheel deciding to call CJ's bluff and like, oh, you want one no one cares about, huh? Like, well, we'll see.
There you go.
I guess we're gonna find out a lot more than we bargained for in this one. I don't know. I'm worried and I'm apprehensive, but let's do the thing. Corey, if you're ready.
Let's take it all the way back to 1998 in Van Halen 3. This is Once. I got a real like mid 80s Meatloaf vibe, like before Bat Out of Hell 2, like the really shitty Meatloaf between Bat 1 and Bat 2.
You see
what I mean by it? They didn't need a remix.
Yeah.
This contemporary, it's already there.
You sure Mike Post wasn't working with him on this one? I'm just like
this intro sounds like the intro of an 80s movie you're about to watch.
It does,
like it's the slow fade in. There's the opening little credits
the
right
sustainer.
Before it bursts into the it's all there.
I'm waiting for Philip Michael Thomas and the other guy to come walking through right with the.
I love how you remembered Philip Michael Thomas, but you forgot the other guy.
Don Johnson.
That's awesome.
Who? Which guy? What? Oh, Don Johnson. Yeah.
So Mark, is it any wonder Van Halen 3 tanked when you're listening to a mid-80s movie intro in 1998? Like, that was huge in 98, right?
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, no, look, the power of 80s nostalgia is very strong now and has been for a couple of years, but not in 1998. Not so much.
I tell you,
this goes right next to Korn on the radio back in 98.
Wonder how long was it kicking around, right? Because we know Ed used to hold on to stuff forever and pull it out. But somebody should have said, hey, man, look.
I mean,
Some of the stuff,
put it back.
Yeah, that one needs to age a little more.
I got to mention, Mark, you mentioned 80s nostalgia. Our friends at Pot of Thunder just did their 501st episode. And show, they ask for what they call a yard of questions. You submit three questions. So I submitted three questions one night just about 80s stuff. Like, you know, what 80s movie would you like to see remade and what 80s song? And Chris Jericho was the guest on that show. And he fucking ripped me a new one. Like, get out of the 80s, dude. Jesus, what the hell's wrong with you? So he kept calling me Colin. So I was going to tweet him and say, hey, that Colin guy from Canada is a real piece of shit, isn't he?
Stuck in the damn 80s.
Man. Yeah, well, if you're going to be ripped apart by any rock and roll wrestler, it might as well be Chris Jericho.
Yeah, I was good with it. I was good with it.
You know, it's a rite of passage, man. That man did some wondrous things in WCW and is currently in AEW. So that's a sidebar.
I talked to Chris L from Pot of Thunder after that. I'm like, man, sorry about those questions. I didn't think, I didn't realize Jericho was going to be the guest, and I thought it just might be an interesting conversation. And they had a really good conversation around those questions. And he goes, Jericho gets a little cranky the longer we go. And it had been like 2.5 hours of recording. So
he was just cranky. That's hilarious. But
and you can catch discussion on episode 501 of Pod of Thunder. They covered Lay It Down by Rat. It was a really good episode.
There you go.
Tune
into that. If you like what we do, you'll love what they do. So. All right, I guess onward to this Top Gun intro.
Hey, good news. We only have 7 minutes and 21 seconds left.
Oh, my God. Crikey. Oh.
Chaz has a knife. Chaz, don't do it. And this is an audio podcast. Ooh. I'm for real. Chaz pulled out a knife.
Yeah. All right. They're going to have to hold me back. They're going to have to hold me back.
My goodness. Wow.
We can't reach
the one
from
I thought
here,
it was.
Just to say no. Yeah, I will say so far, I'm not, and maybe this, I just mentioned that I am a big fan of, or I don't know if I mentioned it, but the 80s nostalgia is very real in the last couple of years. I'm a fan of the 80s nostalgia. So I'm not mad at this so far. It's the most different that I've heard from Van Halen 3, save for the song that shall not be named. But I mean, so far, I mean, it's giving me a different sort of vibe. So far, Gary is not sounding like he's imitating anybody. I know we're early in the track, but still, it's not giving me stomach pain so far. How about you?
Well, no, Chaz is ready to off himself. I couldn't get over that vocal effect they put on Gary's voice there. Like, it's like, we got Gary Sharon in our band. How do we make him sound as thin and tinny and crappy as possible?
Oh, come on. Really?
They thought this was so good, they actually stopped in the middle of the tour to record the remix and put it out as two videos and two singles.
Wow. How far gone was Ed at this and during this period? Because this song really, I mean, you can kind of, I mean, I can see why as an artist, he would be all over wanting people to love this song. And I think that's
left to his own devices, he's a prog rocker.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, yeah, this
just makes a lot of sense with some of the stuff that he's come up with over the years. Yeah, I guess.
Right. Rush doing this. Right. You could almost hear this as a throw off from one of those Rush albums from the early 90s.
This to me sounds like Gary doing, if he's impersonating anybody, it's like, oh, you're doing your Steve Miller this time. OK, I'm here for it. Let's hear it. Very
Steve
fly
Miller,
like an eagle.
The falsetto, though, is... Yeah.
Oh, I know. And Steve Miller, huge in 98.
Yeah, he was like the biggest name in 1998.
Didn't he open for Limp Bizkit?
Across the decades. Oh, did he?
Yes, yeah, but only once. He said, after that, never again.
Gotcha.
Now, this single came out in 99. actually.
Yes. Yeah.
That's how far along this was.
Because the album came out March 98.
It was a single. This was released as a single.
Yeah. That's they stopped the tour to record the remix. So that they were serious about this.
Okay.
Came out in January 99.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Wow.
I tell you, with a different lead singer, that "well, I can feel it inside of me" takes on a different meaning, because it's Gary. Like, if that was David Lee Roth singing that, he's talking about pegging, and we are recording this on International Women's Day.
Nice.
It's true. Yeah. It that's and yeah. Never mind.
It rhymes with deity.
With the power of deity.
I kind of, yeah, I'm agreeing with you, Corey, earlier. You said, let's make Gary sound as thin as possible. Like mix the vocals in this, it sounds like he's singing in a tin can and like not in a good way, not like a good tin, like the way they used to. It's like, this just sounds like, we're going to put you in a room far away from us, just far away. And you sing into this can and we got some string connected to it. And the string's going to take the sound and put it into the mixing board here. It'll be great. You'll love it. That's what it sounds like.
Well, guys, I mean, so this is like classic, like me. I just like, it's right there in front of my face. I was joking earlier when I asked if Mike Post was on this. Mike Post is the producer. It's right in front of my face.
Well, and, you gotta air quote that, producer.
Quote,
yeah. Yeah. But I mean,
he was in the building.
Right. Debatable. But, yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, maybe come on. He was.
Yeah, maybe he was.
I totally heard.
They recorded at his house.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Well, when you said it sounded like an 80s movie, no, it sounded like an 80s TV show as soon as that part came in.
LA Law.
And then, I mean, honestly, right. LA Law. I mean, you know, and honestly, to give this thing a few, you know, some more balls, I think that guitar part that just came in, they probably should have had Kenny Loggins play on that, because it probably would have had a little more balls than what we were hearing there.
Wow.
They hit the record button every time the producer went on his smoke breaks that were very long.
Yeah. You know, I mean, this is Van Halen. No, this is not Van Halen. I would not have recognized that at all. No way. Nothing in there says Van Halen.
Definitely on the surface, this doesn't sound like Van Halen whatsoever. So that's true.
Nope. Album full of demos. This should remain an unheard collection of demos. Van Halen 3. Yeah. Oh God,
CJ, what are your thoughts? 1:39 in.
It's like every song on this album, there's probably a diamond in the rough somewhere in here. It just needed a producer. I know that they recorded at Mike Post's home for one song, and I kind of think he just wasn't ever at 5150. Mm. You know, he was a no-show kind of producer. That's my theory. Mm. And they went to him, you know, once to record a song. Once. And then I'm listening to this, I'm hearing the bass, and is it just me, or is the bass synth on this? I know it sounds like it on this.
It sounds like everything synth until the acoustic guitar kicked in.
Yeah. And the guitar sounds so thin. God, it sounds like one of those paper thin Kramers that were popular way back in the day. Those really thin acoustic electrics. Oof. Yeah, horrible.
Oh, yes, Kramer's.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we only got 6 minutes left, boys. Here we go.
La Isla Bonita in there. I mean, what are you, what am I hearing in there? That is like, I mean, some of the guitar, I gotta say, I'm like, okay, I can hear him popping, you know, popping a couple of notes there that sounded really interesting. But wow, for the most part, this is not any Van Halen I've ever embraced, ever. Wow.
This is not just not of the era, and it in such a really harsh, awful way. Like, I am not the nostalgia has worn thin substantially. I'm like, okay, I no longer want to hear this anymore.
Right? It's like for like thin, overproduced 80s style guitar, this is, you know, hold it right up there, right? I mean, but
what he's actually playing on that acoustic guitar, if it were electric and distorted, it would sound great. You know, if you listen to just what he's playing and kind of like slapping along to the, you know, he's kind of layering riffs in there, and it's, it'd be great. Electric.
You can hear that, but it's not coming out. It's like all in there, but it's just like flat and just sitting there. And you're just like, what were you thinking?
And that's not to say that's not to say that Eddie playing an acoustic guitar sounds bad, because
we heard him.
Yeah, we know he can rip it on an acoustic, a classical style, if he wants to. So
all hair.
What's happening here is it's just giving me the imagery of a sunset on the West Coast, and we're just seeing like shots of people driving cars and people on the boardwalk of Venice Beach, something like that. And it's like, okay, are we going to get to the movie? Like, no, we're still going with this. We're still showing credits. Like, oh my God. Okay.
It's like if the date scene in The Karate Kid was really terrible, this is the song that would be playing.
That's perfect.
The pensive
That's
look perfect. As he's driving down Sunset Boulevard at night. Yes.
Daniel's painfully awkward first date, and he doesn't know what to say.
You know, they hate each other. They're not even talking.
They're not even talking. Yeah. And the camera's not cutting. It's just right on them, and the music just keeps playing.
Yeah. And you're just praying Johnny Lawrence shows up to kick his ass or something, just to break up the monotony.
That's you get to show Cobra Kai way earlier than you thought.
But he's not citing Bible verses. So, yes.
Or gentle puns. There's no filibusters in this one yet.
Oh, boy. Yeah, no filibuster. Yes. Like, oh, please. All right, keep going, Corey.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going back to the Karate Kid date scene with Daniel LaRusso asking, have you ever been touched once? Whoa, really touched?
Really?
This is like
by
the worst
aliens.
Date song ever.
Yeah, just like
some kind of alien coming down on me. Wait a minute, wrong song.
The most painfully awkward thing. Like, oh my God, is it going to keep going like this the entire time?
Wow.
It sure seems that way. And I go back to pegging. Have you ever been touched once?
What? Happy, you know, Meatloaf wrote a song about that. I'll do anything for love, but I won't do that. That's what it was about.
Oh, is that what it was about?
Exactly what
show
it was about.
Show me on the doll.
You know, you were touched once. Yeah.
You were touched once.
Whoa. Really touched.
That's awful.
Wait,
I mean,
give me your pencil. Let me show you. No.
Look, we have to make light of this situation, because like so far this song is just
if you're not laughing,
nothing.
You're
crying. There's just nothing happening here.
If you're not laughing, you're crying, guys.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Have you ever been touched?
Yep.
Oh my God.
Yeah, was that the guy from Saturday Night Live band? Who was that?
I'm dying over here, man, because like, holy hell. This song would have crushed in like 84 or like something like that, where this is just so out of place And I don't know what's
happening. Something the Thompson twins would put out there, not
right. It should have been on the first Top Gun soundtrack. Yes.
Because I thought Eddie was just about to just like blow our minds and just rip it apart when that electric came through. And no, all he did was accentuate that. Nope, you're still in this awkward 80s film right now. Here you go. Here's this guitar. It's like, oh my God, no.
He might have had this banked since the 80s.
That's what it feels like, man. God, they didn't want it for Footloose, so he just put it on the shelf. Yeah.
Now, picture the love scene from Top Gun with this playing underneath it.
Yeah, exactly.
Kevin Brown, if you're listening, please give us that. Give us that scene. He can do it. He can make it happen.
Oh, yeah. He's a genius. Yeah, some of his stuff.
He really is.
Well, I can't believe I'm about to say this. I've maybe said it only one other time since doing this show, but that Eddie solo just does nothing for this song whatsoever. Yeah. And it, in fact, not only does it not improve what's happening, it almost feels like it hurts it even more because he's just doing kind of like these standard scales. He's not doing anything that's going over the top like what he normally can do. He's not really ripping it like he can. And maybe it's just because maybe it just sounds so bad because the rhythm underneath is still going the same way it's been going for the last however long. And it just doesn't fit. It doesn't fit.
Yeah, yeah.
We talk about this on the show all the time that Eddie he's great when he plays a solo that fits the song. And if he can go over the top but still bring it back, that's perfection. But man, he is not doing that, at least to me, in this song. That is not what's happening. Is anybody else feeling that?
Yeah, it feels like an extension of Respect the Wind. It's like if that never ended and just kept going over this rhythm. That's what this would be. Plus, I can hear the.
Ow.
I think he's playing with a coin or his steel pick on this.
There's something in the picking. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can hear him going to that six string bass in it, too. A lot of compression, too.
Yeah, yeah. Like a ton. But it's. Oof. Yeah.
But completely
I'm legitimately heartbroken.
Yeah, as you said, Mark, I mean, there was nothing in that had
uninspired. That's a good word for it. Thank you. That's
right.
What
really?
It is. Like, this is a very uninspired, like it almost seems like Eddie, which never happens, at least based on our listening, where he was just going, shit, I don't know what to do here.
Yeah, like he phoned it in. I didn't want to say it. Phone, man. Yeah. I did not phoned want to in. Say
that's,
that.
That's literally what this sounded like. Just a phone in.
Yeah.
Before the solo, though, you got to say that Gary's going for it. He's really trying to
He's
solo.
Trying.
Yeah.
He's trying. He's trying always something. Tries. He's always very sincere. Yeah. Very sincere.
Maybe during
a
the,
for effort.
Maybe, yeah, maybe during the recording process when they got to this point, I don't know. I need one of our fellow friends who are experts fill me in, but it just sounds like maybe during the recording process when this song happened, even Gary was just like, fuck, I don't know, guys. I don't know. I guess I'm just gonna try something different because holy shit, like I don't know what else you want.
Well, he's from Boston, you know, the whole diocese of Boston having been touched. This might be a very personal Ooh. Story for him. Should I have gone there? I guess I shouldn't have. No, that's terrible. But I mean, honestly, this was like so bad. It brought up the worst kind of memories. And I mean, have you ever been touched? I mean, these lyrics, the conviction of the unseen, greater than everything.
It feels like he's trying to, pardon the pun, touch on like something here, meaningful and maybe not inspirational, but he's trying to go for something both vocally and lyrically, and it's just not landing. The music's not doing him any favors, and his vocal choices are not doing him any favors either. So, oh boy, you guys, I don't have hope for what's left of this song.
No,
I'm beginning to understand why they never played this live, though. Can you imagine being at a Van Halen concert and they just like finished Unchained, and then Gary says, "All right, we're gonna bring it down a little. This is our new single off of Van Halen 3. This is Once."
That would be the number of times they play it live after that. Just
once.
That one,
be it.
One show. Like, ooh, we're not doing that one again.
Boy, that fell a little flat. Maybe you shouldn't play that right after Unchained.
That's the job of the tour manager. Go like, maybe boys, you don't have time for that one. Cut know? That one in your
group. Yeah. Yeah. There's a curfew I didn't tell you about. You got to be off stage in 10 minutes.
It's like we cut
last
one song,
line of defense.
You get a higher stipend at the end of the night. Yeah. So, you know, maybe cut that one.
Oh, okay. We'll cut Jump. No, maybe let's leave Jump.
No, don't leave Jump. You're going to want Jump. But maybe cut, I don't know, Once. Let's cut that one. Yeah.
You know that 12-minute abortion you put on Van Halen 3? Let's cut that.
It's funny you should mention that because the lyrics are very much like the Extreme song from Extreme 1 about abortion.
Yeah.
You read back these lyrics. Yeah.
Oh man, I didn't think about that. Well,
that's what you're bringing,
guys.
Really
he was trying to do something with these lyrics. I mean, they're kind of deep, but you're like, where is he really going? I don't. Yeah, he never really brought it back so that I could really key in on what he was really asking us here. Other than if I've been touched, and that's a very personal question. Sorry, Gary. Okay, so like the best of 80s yacht rock guitarists. I mean, you know, where was Eddie Van Halen in that? There was no Eddie Van Halen there.
Did he play
on
this?
I didn't recognize that. Was right? Yeah, wait, who played guitar on this? Is this? Yeah, wait.
This is that dude from Wang Chung, isn't it?
It is.
But seriously, there's
tying
nothing
it back. They want you to do a podcast.
Like Mark was saying before, there is nothing about the Edward Van Halen signature in any of this.
There's no emotion. There's no personality.
No.
It's unfocused.
No.
It's,
yeah,
no tone. There's like
right.
I said,
I, that's why I think he played with a coin with a like a quarter or something on some track from this album, and he never said exactly. You know, we know it happened on Without You. We don't know what other songs for sure. This sounds like something's holding him back. You know,
I
he's falling back
on this one.
Yeah,
like a millisecond or two, you know, hesitation on stuff.
All right, 2 minutes, 19 seconds left. We can do it.
Ugh. special guest appearance from Carlos Santana.
Carlo, you know what? Yeah, I was hearing a little Jerry Cantrell there. I'm hearing
Jerry and Santana like went back and forth, and Eddie was like, "Oh, I can do that. Here, let me try it." That's what it sounded like.
Van Halen is passed out somewhere.
Spot on, right? Yeah, what's going on with that?
Oof. I was gonna save that for my final thoughts, which I'm already gathering because, like,
yeah. Well, you guys are always making it a point, especially you, Corey, of like, you know, pointing out how much you've come to appreciate Al. What about Al's contribution here so far?
Well, you notice Corey's silent. There's a good reason for this.
It sounds like Eddie just got out his drum machine and dialed up crap and hit play.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Casio yep. 9. Yep.
Picked up his creamer and away he went.
You finish your nap, Alex.
Right. This was done during the nap sessions in the afternoons.
Yeah.
Producer's out having a smoke. Alex is taking a nap. Eddie's like, all right, Gary, man. You and me, we're doing this.
Michael's at home waiting by the phone. They're going to call. Like, I know we're working on stuff.
Gary's like, I finished mine weeks ago. I don't know.
He's like, I'm ready, Eddie. What do you want me to do? Yeah. Like, I don't know. You just feel it.
Okay. Gary's still in that gas station with the tin can.
Is that a good take?
He's practicing.
Is that a good one? I don't know.
Great acoustics down here.
Oh, Lordy.
Oh.
Right, that's well, once the love theme from Caddyshack 2.
It sounds like more like this. Oof. No, I wouldn't even go. I mean, I know people hate Caddyshack 2. I'm one of the few that don't, so I wouldn't even go that far. I'd be like, I don't know, the made for TV version of Caddyshack 2. Like, I don't know, like something even worse.
Oh, that last part the name, there. But
at least it sounded like Eddie finally decided to wake up and play a little bit more there for the end. But of course, by then it's too late.
Right. The Ewoks were out dancing though. Yeah. That to me evoked that last scene in Return of the Jedi when Palpatine's dead and there's that, hey, yeah, yo. Woo, woo. What the? My God. Yeah. And then,
they had to remix that too.
Right. Exactly. Right. Then the guitar starts tripping in like, oh my gosh, where?
Yeah.
What?
I don't know. To me, this sounded like, this sounded like the musical equivalent of somehow Palpatine survived.
Yeah. Well, as we know, let's not go there.
All right.
Let's
You know what? All right. Enough beating around the bush. We're just going to go right to it because holy God. All right. So I'm going to start with I'm going to assume is probably the more positive of the voting, but I could be completely wrong. I guess we'll find out. I'm going to start with the man himself, CJ Chilvers. CJ, you manifested a song that nobody gives a shit about. You manifested, you wanted a deep cut. You wanted one that we could discuss that maybe might be thought-provoking, and we definitely had some thoughts on this one, so I'm here to ask you for the first time ever, your first time on the show, is Once from Van Halen 3 What Dreams Are Made Of, or Is the Dream Over?
The dream's over. But which I hate to say because it's... Yeah, I messed up the format, of course. It's fine. But The Dream Is Over is such a great song. That I hate to label with that. It's got to be something else, like Girl Gone Bad. I mean,
he doesn't
something...
want to taint it. He doesn't want to taint the Thumbs Down
which is a great song
with
too.
This song. Wow. Ooh.
Yeah, it's
ouch.
It sucks. you know what I keep going back to, though? This reminds me, like, have you seen the video for this?
No, I don't think
no,
I ever
God,
have.
God, no.
Okay, because it came out in 99. The video, I'm sure it was great when it came out, but it's so small, pixelated, and you can't tell anything that's going on. And then, you know, this, it's kind of just like the song. I have no idea what's going on here.
You brought up that other song about the wind. So that was all, was that about the same time period that he was doing this?
That was, so this would be 1 year later he recorded this from okay. Respect the Wind. So,
okay.
Let's see. Pretty cool. Is this the video here?
Yeah, see? What's
oh, God, don't make us listen to it again. Oh, I see. Yeah, that's like,
I'll
that's a
mute
very
it.
Bad
there
upload.
You go.
Yeah, thank you. That's a very bad non-HD upload. And boy, we really take HD for granted these days, don't we?
Yep, that's uploaded in stellar 180p right there.
Yeah, that's like someone putting their VHS copy up like next to the camera. Like,
right,
let me just
exactly.
Record it this way. Yeah. Oh, that's crazy. So all in all for CJ, the dream is over. Any final words on that?
Yeah, why does everything throughout the track and the track itself fade out? Everything. It comes in and it fades out. And it's almost like we don't know, again, we don't know what to do. So yeah. We're just going to fade this part out. And then the entire song just fades out.
Yeah, I'm still
with
playing
my
the video
theory.
And I keep going back. And Al was napping on a couch. So
well,
yeah, we're not far off at all.
I was literally just about to say, I'm going with the theory that this is a song that was recorded when the producer's out having a smoke. Alex is taking a nap, and Eddie just grabs Gary and like, "All right, bro, I'm gonna put you in this room, and we're gonna record this."
That's it. That's
so there
it.
You go. There's one for the dream is over for once. So now we go to Chaz Mataz. You're on the show now. You got to have your say. This was not a song you wanted to manifest, but this is one we got. So I ask you, my dude, for you, is once what dreams are made of, or is the dream over?
Oh, man, I got to just get the cat out of the bag. I know I was holding back most of the show. I wasn't really letting you guys. I got my poker face on there, but I got to say, this one really let me down. I mean, could you imagine being cornered by Eddie Van Halen into the studio? Like, he's got the one, you know, one eye. He's got the cigarette, you know, and he's kind of coming up. Hey, man, you're going to record this because, you know, I mean, it does feel like he bullied Gary into doing a lot of what's on this record. I'm sorry. I mean, you know, there are... The one that ended up on the cutting room floor. What was the one you guys did last week or the week before?
Oh, well, That's Why I Love You.
I Love You, Babe. That's Why I Love You, Babe.
Yeah.
Honestly, yeah. I think that would have been, I mean, in terms of everything that ended up on that record.
Yeah,
that,
everyone that agrees. Is,
that yeah. deserved to be there and would have been a honking, yeah. you know, of all this. My God, yeah. So yeah. Once and the one that won't be named. There are very few songs that get any lower. It's just wow. And you can see here in the pixelated video, right? This is that period of time where he was pretty close to losing it, right? You know, he was kind of in the throes of all of his various addictions. And there was a lot going on in this man's head. You know, I just can't imagine what it would have been to then, you know, go ahead and in his world, in his mind, be brave and do this, right? Because that's where he was at. And then put it out and have everybody just go, what the fuck? And as we saw then, right, years of, you know, him spinning into a downward spiral. And, you know, it kind of all went from this place. That's why Van Halen 3 for me is kind of a tough one because of where he went after. Right. Because it actually, I mean, this was bad, but it actually for him personally got so much worse. Right. So that's where it's kind of heartbreaking because, you know, like, as you were saying, Mark, like Gary and Corey as well. I mean, like, you know, Gary was there with full intent, like emotional intent. He's really investing a lot in this stuff. I think really wanting to make it work. But wow, what a spectacular example of great intention paving the highway to hell. Just yeah, never gonna do it for me, guys.
No, I'll be very curious to hear about what apologist of Van Halen 3, Michael Green's opinion on this particular song, as I would love to hear him try and defend it. But
Ryan Powell, who says he's never downvoted a song.
That's true. Yeah, there's Ryan. Well, I mean, he didn't downvote How Many Say I either. So, oops, yeah. I said it. We weren't supposed to say that. But
I would upvote How Many Say I before this song. Honestly, yes, I would. Oof.
Well, I don't want to revisit that conversation because that would involve me having to re-listen to that song. So moving forward, Corey, I mean, we've said a lot, so I'm just going to just straight up. Dream is over, or is this what dreams are made of? You're usually pretty positive.
Let's say that! No!
This is the worst thing we've heard on this show. I'm kind of good chance.
Yes.
How Many Say I had a couple of interesting things musically that if it was like an instrumental would have actually worked. They're like CJ was saying, there's a nugget in there somewhere of a decent song.
Yes.
How Many Say I, there's nothing in this fucking turd. All I could really say is I wish to God we would have spun spanked. Like, that's where I'm at.
Yes. Ow. All right.
I'm going to go play Spanked as soon as we're done here. And the only positive thing to come out of tonight, other than chatting with Chaz and CJ, is there's only three songs left from Van Halen 3. And with
it's
that,
it's a war of attrition. Yes.
I'll tell you what, play the remix for this, and this will seem like a good song.
Holy cow.
Wow.
I'm not kidding.
Wow. I'm hearing Contender to replace it. So this will be what we use to replace Lulu. We'll just, when we're done with dissecting
just do all the
Lulu,
versions of once.
We'll go over a couple of versions of, really bad tracks from Van Halen 3.
You know what I can say about this song? I'm going to listen to it once.
Oh.
All right. Mark Kammeyer, that means it's your turn. And geez, my finger's hovering over a button. I won't tell you which one, but is this, here we go. That was quick.
I wish everybody could see the screen. That was funny.
I think I might be, the more I think on it, and again, it's going to require me to re-listen to the other song because I might be in agreement with you, Corey. This might be the worst thing we've, and I want it. Look, it started off, it gave me just a tad bit of hope. That's because right. it was giving me the sort of 80s nostalgia feel until it was pointed out very quickly, like, oh, wait a minute, this was in 98 when this happened. The 80s nostalgia had not come into fruition. We had just left it. We were still very much set in the 90s trying to get ready for the aughts, and this is just so out of place. On paper, Gary's lyrics for this song on paper are actually not terrible. There's something he's trying to convey on paper with the lyrics. Unfortunately, these lyrics are thrown into the music of this song, and it doesn't work, and it makes everything not work. We've mentioned the production quality. It does not work. Very certain of my theory. This was a smoke break recording on the producer's part. He was not there. Alex is nowhere to be found. He's taking a nap. He's not there. This is an Eddie project. This is Eddie doing Eddie and bringing Gary
you're gonna
into
play
the
that,
mix.
See? Yeah.
And and I'm not going to. There's no need to apologize to Gary because this is not your fault. It's not your fault. You are trying so hard. And it is just not working. It's not your fault.
Honestly, I think
he might need some
counseling.
Sounds,
he might have been
like
reaching out for help.
Session.
Yes.
Yeah,
I agree with you, CJ.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like Goodwill Hunting. You're telling him it's not his fault.
Yeah.
You're asking, have you ever been touched?
So,
Who was touching you, Gary?
Yeah, so there's all that to say. I mean,
it's a cry for help. Gary's crying for help.
That's it. I really do think that.
Once was enough. And I'm crying for help once. If nobody is answering me after this one, then there's no hope. And
that's the review of Rolling Stone. Once is enough.
Once is enough. And once was too much.
Once was too much.
Look, I say what you will about the rest of Van Halen's catalog. All you Sammy haters, hate all you want, and you can bring up for Breakfast over and over again. I will listen to Up for Breakfast for the rest of my life. and listen to no other Van Halen song if I do not have to listen to Once ever again.
I'll go take a meal from that lunch pill myself, Mark. You know,
congratulations to Van Halen 3's Once for taking the slot of the worst shit we've covered on this show thus far. And I didn't think that was possible, but it happened.
Well, and CJ, you know what, though? I think CJ and I need to take some credit for getting this spun, because I think he, with his focus nobody wanted to talk to. Well, nobody wanted to talk about it, and that's what he manifested. Yeah. And I think just with the podcast that I'm doing, I brought a little taint. I think I brought the Lulu taint.
There's definitely some taint.
There's a lot of taint. I think I'm all about ownership here.
You know?
Yeah. If you want to take credit for the taint, then that's all you. So everyone, direct your hate at Chaz Mataz for manifesting something like this, which he didn't. He manifested spanked. I would have much rather preferred spanked. I'm looking forward to talking about spanked.
If you hate the taint, spaz on Chaz. That's what you got to do.
Nice. Chaz, thanks a lot.
And we can't even blame CJ for this one, because even though he manifested a song that no one gives a shit about, I dare say, CJ, I don't think you expected this one.
Well, did you hear what he spun out? The guy who wrote the Van Halen second piece was, oh no.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, let's not forget.
Right.
Oh my God.
There's a difference between, you know, nobody caring and everybody hating.
There's a huge difference.
Now, when we spun How Many Say I, we told Greg, because the song was so bad, we would bring him on. CJ, we're going to offer you the same thing. If you ever want to come back on, spin the wheel again. It's bound to be better. But Chaz, fuck you, because you tainted this up like a motherfucker.
Yep.
You take your Lulu.
Deserve it. That's it.
That's I'm kidding.
I'll
you can come
just
back
take
too,
Lulu
Chaz.
And go home.
Yeah. Hope for the live shows or something. You know, if
that's it. Yeah. That's it.
But for now, for a good long while, you're in a timeout, because
I am
going to
bomb your Twitter feed. I'm going to troll you like a mother.
Don't doubt it. How about if we give you a few minutes to tell us about regarding Lulu? Will that make up for it?
Oh yeah, gosh. Sure. Thank you. Regarding Lulu, what is it? It's a podcast inspired, quite frankly, by you guys and by the rest of the folks on the Deep Dive Podcast Network. As I've gotten to get into the world of podcasting, I got to be honest with you, I'm totally new to it. And you can probably tell by our production capability. But yeah, this show that we're doing, it's essentially just inspired, you know, a couple of music geeky guys that have nothing to do a couple nights a week and wanted to get together and talk about music and find an angle that might be interesting that others weren't covering. I like to joke with my co-host Greg Wolf we wanted to do a show on Def Leppard, and Def Leppard's my favorite band, so you want to talk about Def Leppard, because we can go on the podcast and talk about Def Leppard all day. But it turns out there is one. Quite a few.
I can talk about Slang for an entire podcast.
There you go, brother. That is absolutely. So I saw them when they were doing the open air tour for Slang. Yeah, it was great in Connecticut. But anyway, long story short, Lulu just kind of came about where I was having a discussion with some other friends, and it just became the idea that, wow, yeah, that's one that, my God, it was just such a, when the album came out, we really looked forward to it because it was Lou Reed and Metallica, and like, wow, that's weird, because I hadn't really been, you know, big into Metallica for a while by that point. This was 2011, 2012 when this came out. I was a big fan of the band growing up, but as you were saying, Mark, in the last show, I was of that camp that kind of started pulling away at And Justice for All. And then, you know, I was there, you know, as you had to be when they were just as, you know, the biggest metal band in the world. And, you know, they dominated by that point, crossing over and being on commercial airwaves. And every record was, you know, bigger than the last, and they were just everywhere. By the point of having done this, and by the point of my own kind of maturity, I was interested in what were these guys going to do together? Lou Reed and Metallica, that's weird. I want to check that out. And when it came out, I mean, honestly, I was like, what the fuck? It was like, wow, That's the biggest piece of shit I think I have ever heard, other than what was John Lennon and Yoko Ono's two virgins. I mean, so if you know that reference, biggest piece of shit. I was like, yeah, they did it. Metallica did it. They pulled it off. Another first. Wow, that's the worst thing. I'll never listen to that again. And I didn't. I mean, I gave it like, you know, half a try the next time, next day after it came out. And I was like, nope, that's gone. And I actually tossed it. I got rid of it and didn't think about it since. It came up somewhere along the line, and I was like, oh my gosh, that might be a pretty cool podcast topic to kind of go back and say, has this thing aged? Oh, well, I know what it was. It was that saw a quote somewhere that when Lou Reed died, David Bowie says to Laurie Anderson, Lou Reed's widow, that, you know, Lulu is going to go down as Lou's masterpiece. And this is David Bowie. Right. So I'm like, oh, seriously? And I verified that at a couple of sources as best I could, you know, being an internet sleuth. And so I was like, that's really interesting. If a guy like Bowie thinks that this thing is going to be Lou Reed's masterpiece, because Lou did some pretty, you know, sophisticated and impressive work in my humble opinion. Right. So I was like, wow. Even though I wasn't a huge fan, a lot of respect for the artist and who he was and what his influence was. And so when I started to just look a little more back at Lulu and understood that, yeah, there was some play that he was writing this about. There was some source material. Well, it turns out there were a couple of plays written in the late 1890s, early 1900s in Berlin, and they were very shocking for their time, coming out of the, the creative scene in Berlin. What we're thinking, my co-host and I are thinking that Lou Reed was kind of really drawn into the conditions that created the work that was the Lulu plays. And that's what kind of inspired him to take these things and make them the source of inspiration for what he then did with Metallica. But it wasn't well received when it came out. Fans and critics put it just like I did, right in the hopper, and didn't think about it again. So we're going back and listening to it with now the idea that, well, number one, we went and read the plays. So it was like, let's get into Lou's mind a little bit here and try and appreciate this thing as a masterpiece and a work of art, you know, that somebody like David Bowie would be, you know, putting such high esteem to. So let's at least understand the source material. So that's it. So Greg, my co-host, Greg Wolf, has never heard this. He was a Lou Reed fan. He had not a big Metallica fan. He's a musician himself. We're both active gigging musicians. I'm more the Metallica fan. I like Lou Reed. I'm a general music fan. But, you know, and the only guy that had heard it, and it hadn't been that long, or I should say it had been quite a while since I have heard it. So that's kind of it. You know, maybe a little long there for an elevator pitch, but that's our story in a nutshell.
Maybe if they're going up the Empire State Building.
Well, that's it. Well, I'm from New York. So yeah, originally. So yeah, we're used to that, the old Otis elevators. But yeah, so we're into our second episode now. We're a member of the network and so grateful to be a part of the network. And honestly, you guys, yes, definitely inspired me to go and find a co-host and to do this thing. And I got to say, it's a lot of fun, a lot more work than I thought it would be, but it's a blast, man. Being able to be here too, it's an honor. Thank you so much. You guys do a great job.
Well, thank you very much for that. And thank you for sticking with us. And thank you for finding a co-host, because at one point Chaz asked me if I'd be interested.
I did.
And I listened to the first episode, and when I heard that song, I'm like, there's no fucking way. That's almost once bad. But we got to go now to our good friend CJ. CJ, I've been hearing some rumblings. There might be a new edition of the Van Halen Encyclopedia coming out.
Yeah, and God knows how long it'll take. But yeah, I'm kind of doing it in public at vanhalen.substack.com. And, you know, just I think late, I started out with a bang and kind of revealed some things. And, you know, then I got some pushback from, you know, some people. It's kind of a reminder of, you know, who the Van Halen crowd is. 99% great people, but there's going to be that 1%, just no matter what you do, they're going to push back. It's their band, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. So that's kind of how it's going. I'll be back on there with some new stuff soon. But basically just editing the book in public so everybody can see the updates that are coming. That's about it.
Right on. There you go. We thank you guys so much for being on the show. Appreciate it. Lots of input, lots to talk about on this episode. Corey, please tell the people where they can find the show, what we all have going on, and where they can find you if they want to tweet you out directly.
Oh, please don't do that. But I'm at CD Morset on Twitter and Instagram. The show at Podcast Will Rock on all your favorite social media sites. Mark's handling a lot of that for us. Thank you, Mark. You can find us at www.podcastwillrock.com. Get yourself some merch. Actually, a couple nights ago, Mark, I was recording a Backtracks theme music with Sean McGinnity from the Sean Geek Podcast, and he was wearing his Play Splat and Bone t-shirt that he got from our merch store. So. Great. That was fantastic stuff. Of course, we are proud members of the Deep Dive Podcast Network, which now includes Regarding Lulu very proudly. I won't go into every show because we're running quite long, but go to deepdivepodcastnetwork.com. Check out all the shows. They're all fantastic. And I'm so psyched that CJ and Chaz, we finally got them on the show. And this is a song you need to talk about. So I'm glad that we had two great guests to do it with.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. And
thanks so much. This was so much fun.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We got to do it again sometime.
Absolutely.
We absolutely will be on the lookout for all the stuff we got coming up. The live shows will continue. We still got lots of songs to cover, so we're not stopping anytime soon, so don't you worry. However,
and we've got a reciprocal invitation if you want to come on the regarding Lulu, and ours is a little different. You're not going to know if you don't know the record. You're not going to know what you're going to hear when you come in. We're not spinning any wheels. I thought you liked this.
What the hell?
Yeah, what the
that sounds like
on?
A threat.
What a, yeah.
You know what, I don't know that album at all, so I would absolutely take you up on that. Who knows?
All right. Yeah, you never know. It's based on what you hear. So
that's right.
There you go. So, all right. And if you want to contact me directly at Mark the Bat on Twitter and Instagram, let me know if you legitimately really enjoy the song Once from Van Halen 3, because I honestly want to hear why. Looking at you, Michael Green, and whoever else you are, apologist Ryan Powell, you're in the hot seat, my dude. I expect from you and from Scott Monroe another manifesto explaining why we are completely wrong in this assessment, because I legit want to hear a different perspective, because oh my god, that was not fun. But it is fun, because we get to talk Van Halen with awesome people. And of course, my partner in crime, Corey Morissette, and all of this. Thank you so much for all that you do. Thank you for staying strong. And thank you to the listeners for keeping us going. We're still going. We're still going strong. We've got more things along the way. That'll do it for us. On behalf of everybody, we are, and the podcast will rock. And we will rock you later.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. 1-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way, because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.